So with all that said, let's see if we can bring in Pat Pagano this morning. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. Yeah, we talk about going to hell. Had a thunderstorm last night that caused a power, a power surge, and all the computers just went haywire.
Yeah, well, we didn't have the thunderstorm. Everything went to the south of us, but I came in this morning, Pat, and this is no lie. The station was off the air. I had to reboot both computers and then reconnect them on the network, which I did. Then I got us on the air. Then the printer wouldn't work. It was in what was called deep sleep. I have no idea what the hell that is, but that's what it said. So I had to get out of it. It took me about 10 minutes to get it out of deep sleep. And of course, I did get it out of deep sleep, so there was no problem there. But then the production computer would not connect with the on-air computer because the on-air computer updated with Windows. So I had to reboot the production computer and install the same Windows program. I guess so the rest of the day is going to be to hell. It's just not going to, and it's probably the same thing with you,
Well, I mean, I've got everything up and thank goodness right now running nicely. But if I had all of that you had to deal with, I think I would have shut out the lights, turned around and went back home.
Well, I'm working on getting the rest of the stuff that I normally would have gotten done in that 35-minute period. I'm just finishing up now while I'm on the air. So we missed the thunderstorms. At my house, I got about 3 minutes of big droplets of rain, but not a lot of droplets. Like maybe, you could actually walk in between the droplets. And then it was gone. So I looked at the radar and I said, wow, the people to the south of us from roughly in our state, it looked like from roughly around Kent south, got whacked. And then I looked in New York state and I said, it was below Dover. It was below Dover and Dover Plains that got whacked. And then I went over and I said, aha, Pat is definitely getting whacked.
Yeah, we got it. And Middletown got it. They went right over Middletown. And earlier in the day, there was a real large a line that went through that brought 90-mile-per-hour winds to New Jersey. That went just south of New York City. So that was kind of interesting, too.
And did you see what happened in New York City? The curfew was at 8 o'clock, but there was a big bunch of thousands of people that were still hanging out. And the police they arrested some people as they were trying to break them up. And then the waves of rain came in. And guess what? That broke up the protest.
That's just what I figured. I think I said that yesterday. I don't remember where I said that to somebody, saying that maybe the storms will come in tonight. I said that. And it would calm things down. And it did. So that was good.
That's exactly
but
what happened.
But my point is, with this whole thing, there's a difference between protest and riots.
Yeah.
And we talked about this yesterday. We said protest and looters. Well, as far as I'm concerned, there's a difference here between protesters and rioters. And there are two separate groups here. But how long are you going to continue this?
Well, they're going to continue it until the president comes out and makes a statement, and they're going to continue it until they see that the trial starts, because a lot of rogue cops have gotten off in trials. They've gotten off absolutely scot-free. I'll tell you what, the people are fed up, Pat. They're just fed up. And I'll tell you what, I bet you policemen are fed up because the good policemen, which is 90% of them, you take 10%, like New York, they have a police force of almost 800. Is it 800 people? I think it's 800 street cops. Well, if you take the 10%, let's say you've got 80 rogue cops, that's a lot. So that's what I'm saying. It's a high figure. But you've got to start a commission that looks into this. President Obama spoke about it yesterday. You've got to bring people in and look, you know, bring in retired police officers, retired captains of polices, of precincts, members of the Black community, Latino community. And you've got to bring all these people together, and you have to have a commission that goes and looks into, look at police departments across the country and have them find their rogue police officers and get rid of them. Everybody's fed up with this right now. It's very obvious that it's racial profiling, and it's only happening to poor Black and people, you know, people of color. That has to stop.
It has to. Yeah. This is too far away for this to even be a thought, as far as I'm concerned. This should have been over and done with many years ago.
Pat, Rodney King, you're going back 25 years there, but you can go back 50 years. I mean, it's almost like in time we've gone back in time. And people of color are just being treated totally different by these rogue cops than the rest of the people.
I get it. And yeah, and there also are some people that also treat people of color differently. And that to me, you know what? Let's step into the future, folks, and get with it. But I'm so glad that my parents raised me and my sisters properly, because we never, ever, ever had any kind of racial biases. In fact, I grew up in Brooklyn. My best friends were people of color. And I do remember that during the disco era, and I think I told you this once before, there was a place, a disco place, called On Stage. And for the most part, there were very, very few white people there. You think that stopped me?
No.
In fact, they used to. They knew me because I was one of maybe the only white face on the floor dancing the bus stop hustle and all of that. I had the time of my life. And you know what? And that's the way it should be. That is definitely the way it should be. And I remember bringing my sisters there. And my sisters used to say, "You have to be kidding." And I said, are you afraid? They said, no, but there's like no other white people here. I said, good, that makes it even more fun, doesn't it? And to this day, my sisters talk about that. And they say, yeah, remember how you used to drag us there? I said, it was the greatest, greatest time that I used to have. And, and to me, if I could do it again, I would.
Well, I can't comment on I when I was young, I didn't really realize there was obviously I think racism up here, but we had friends the Chatfields, Marion Chatfield, who's 90 some years old, was a nurse at the hospital. Her family I knew all her kids, and we all played ball and were friends together. The MacArthurs, I mean, the Fishers, I mean. And for some reason, I was raised that same way. My father was in show business. He worked closely with a lot of Black Americans. Sammy Davis Jr., he was an early supporter of O.C. Smith. So mm-hmm. My father, we were raised not to be colorblind, that people were people.
Absolutely. Exactly. And, when I went to a high school, and you can look this up if you'd like to, I went to the high school called Andrew Jackson High School. It was in Cambria Heights, Queens. And when I told people that I was going to that school as a freshman, they said, what are you kidding? There's hardly any white people there. I said, yeah. And they said, oh, and there's going to be a lot of problems. There's going to be that was the whole time with desegregation and the whole bit. Let me tell you something. It was 4 years of the best of my life because I had more fun. I had more friends, and nothing stopped me. And I to this day, there were a lot of great people who came out of Andrew Jackson High School. And I was part of that whole movement. And I look back and I say, you know, now, you know, you would look at this and say to yourself, what is going on? Back then you were like in the middle of it. So you like you didn't step back. But now you step back and you say to yourself, what are you, nuts? The whole thing is very bizarre.
And here's the most bizarre thing of all, is that in another 20 years, this country is going to be majority-minority population. And the 35% of the people in America who can't find themselves to get along with people of color are going to be put into an entirely different situation. They will be in the minority. And it's going to be very interesting how that develops. That's why it's so important to get this race relations thing and this profiling settled now, because you know, in 20 years, it's payback time, and you want to really have. It's just that we've gone back in time over the past 3 years. It's almost like the country has slipped back into the days where civil rights. You have to fight for civil rights again, and that's the saddest
that's
thing.
Unheard of.
Yeah,
well, unheard of. But get back to the weather. Yeah. Yes, because we you and I could talk about this for hours.
Yeah.
Partly cloudy today, simply partly cloudy, and it's going to be warm, mid-80s. Tonight, clouding up with a shower, mid-60s. Hazy and humid with a chance of thunderstorms on Friday, middle 80s. Now for Saturday, I think what will happen is there'll be a shower or thunderstorm like late morning and toward lunchtime. This is Saturday. And then after that, it'll turn partly sunny, less humid. And the high Saturday will be in the mid-70s. Sunday and Monday look gorgeous. Sunny, breezy, mid-70s for both Sunday and Monday.
Are you going to the cabin this weekend?
I think so. You know, originally I was thinking maybe just going Sunday because it looked like Saturday was going to be kind of rainy. Now, from what I could see, most places will get either a shower or a thunder shower, and that will only comprise, I would say, maybe, if you're lucky, a half hour to 45 minutes of your day. So I'm thinking that, you know, I'll head up on Saturday, stay there Saturday night, and continue on Sunday and then come home, you know, Sunday afternoon.
Now, do you run the generator much at your cabin?
Well, the last few weekends I have been because I've been needing it for the vacuum cleaner and for the power tools. Other than that, I only run it if I have to.
In the evening?
I mean, my ceiling fans, I have two ceiling fans in the cabin. They run, you know, via through the generator. So if it's real hot and humid up there, during the day, I will run the generator to keep those ceiling fans going. And if I keep it going till like, say, 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, then the cool mountain breezes come in. And the fan draws it right into the cabin, and I'm fine for the rest of the evening.
Now, how long is it? How often do you have to fill it with gas and stuff?
I have a great one. I have a Honda,
yeah.
And it's just a marvelous generator. I could probably run it, I would say easily, 12 to 18 hours without having to put any gas in it.
And it's
refill it.
And it's one of the quiet ones, right?
It's so quiet you can't even hear it. I forget what the number of it. It's 3,000 I. They still sell it, and I'll get it for you. And if you're interested, are you interested?
I don't know. I've got a big automatic 7,000-watt generator. It turns out of my house.
Oh,
I put that in after we had that storm that we didn't have power for 11 days.
Here it is. I have an E. No, that's not mine. I thought it. Here's mine. I have an EU-3000IS.
So it's a 3,000-watt generator?
Yeah, it's a 3,000-watt generator.
And I'll get it
for the studio, we have a 2,200 Honda generator. That works great, too.
Yeah. We put a generator in now because I wasn't going to ever live without power for 11 days again. That was horrible.
Like Sandy, right, exactly. Yeah.
Well, Pat, we've discussed a lot this morning, and we haven't changed a damn thing.
Yeah, unfortunately. It's going to take a lot. But in any event, enjoy the day. There's no storms for today, so enjoy it, and I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, Pat, have a good day.
Bye-bye, Marshall.
I'm Pat Pagano this morning in the Weather Center here on Robin Hood Radio.